For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we read the verses 1 through 16. And there we read God's holy word. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. And then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So far the reading of God's word. And the text for the sermon is from the portion we read in Mark chapter 10, the verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10, the verses 13 through 16, and we will read these verses again. There we read the text for the sermon, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And we write with the text, hands around the children. Hands around the children. Three thoughts. First of all, providing hands. Secondly, opposing hands. Thirdly, blessing hands. Hands around the children. Providing hands, opposing hands, and blessing hands. First of all, providing hands. We read in verse 13, and they brought young children to him. And is a word which closes to the foregoing text. The Lord Jesus is in conversation with the Pharisees and the disciples about the question the Pharisees had asked, namely in verse 2, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? We can say that the conversation is about a complex and difficult subject. The Lord Jesus is in the midst of these men teaching. But at a certain moment, some parents come with their children to the Lord Jesus, unexpectedly. Who were they? Not only mothers, as so often is thought and also is taught in some children's Bibles. And we know even the song that speaks about mothers who brought their children to Jesus. Maybe you know it, children, when mothers of Salem, their children brought to Jesus. But if we read the Greek text, it is clear that fathers as well brought their children to the Lord Jesus. They brought children. Children who were not older than 12 years. Among this group of children were also very little children. Yes, we may assume there were even infants, babies. We know this for sure because when the evangelist Luke describes this account, he uses a word for child that means very little, newborn children, underage children who walk with their father or mother, yes, children who were carried on their parents' arms to the Lord Jesus. Why did they bring their children to Jesus? Well, says Mark, that he should touch them. Maybe that sounds a little bit strange. Why would they like to have their children touched by the Lord Jesus? You need to know that it was common for rabbis or scribes to pronounce blessings. They pronounced a blessing and added a sign as well. This happened particularly around the Day of Atonement, the Yom Kippur. At that time, there would be many visitors, pilgrims, who came to the great feast in Jerusalem. It was a time that the high priest made atonement for the people for their sins. This took place in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. But in the evening, before the children were brought by their parents to the scribes, the rabbis instructed the children in the law and prayed for them. They beseeched the Lord for the atonement of their sins. After that, they blessed the children and touched them. That is probably what you have to think of when you read in our text that young children were brought to him so that he should touch them. Parents saw the Lord Jesus and recognized him as a rabbi who instructed and blessed. They may even have seen that this rabbi touched in order to heal the sick. The parents brought their young children to Jesus with the heartfelt desire and prayer that their children would be instructed in the word of God and would be raised in the fear of the Lord. They desired that their children would be blessed, for the blessing of the Lord makes rich, like we read in Proverbs 10, verse 22. They wished that the children's sins would be forgiven, that the young children would live in communion with God. These are providing hands, bringing young children to the Lord Jesus. Congregation, in the providing hands of these parents, we have a mirror for ourselves. To say it with the same words, do we bring our children to Jesus, that he would bless them, that he would pray for them? In a certain sense, the baptismal parents have brought their children to the Lord Jesus this evening. They have brought them to the Lord Jesus so that he should bless them, so that they would receive the sign and seal of the triune God, namely that he promises to be the God of their children. They brought them with the prayer, Lord, fulfill the rich content of this sacrament in their lives through the forgiveness of sin and the renewing of the heart by the Holy Spirit. We so need that prayer, not only now standing at the font, but also before that, praying for our children before they were born. take our children in thy care. Provide them with thy fatherly care. Grant them the forgiveness of sin. Lead them by thy Spirit. That's what you need now and for the future. Meanwhile, you provide your children with all that they need. We have to strive for the souls of our children. We have to seek for their salvation. Is that what you do? Struggle and strive for their everlasting well-being? That is a task for the parents in the first place, but for all the members of the congregation as well. The children who are baptized this evening are children of the congregation. Are you a member that prays for the children of our congregation? That is what they need, for they must be born again. Otherwise, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's about life and death. For that reason, they need our prayers. And you, beloved parents, will you bring your children to Jesus by providing trustworthy Christian education, by bringing them to Sunday school and catechism class? That is the way we have to bring our children to Jesus, namely in the way of the means. Our children need this, since there is so much danger around their souls. The power of sin reigns in the heart of the children. The temptations of sinful desires in this world. Satan has so many arrows on his bow, which can mortally hit them. But there is more to say. Bringing your children to Jesus is not something you have to do once. No, bringing our children to Jesus will be shown in the things you as parents find most important for your children. What would you like your children to become? How would you like to spend your time with them? What are the goals they have to meet? Good academic performance, attain a respectable position in society. The purpose that you have received children is that they would grow up in the fear of the Lord to His glory. For that purpose, it is so necessary that we put the salt of the gospel in the upbringing of our children. Do you sense that this is more than bringing the young children to church as soon as possible, and that they go to Sunday school, to Sunday school and so on? It means that we make time to speak with our children about what we read from the Bible after supper. I know it's not easy to talk with your children about the things of our heart, but try to talk about it in all simplicity. Try to talk about the sermon even when they don't understand all. Bringing the children to Jesus means talking about sin and the weight of eternity with earnestness and reverence. It means that we try to persuade them to repent and to pray for a new heart, for they need this first of all. In this portion of Scripture, we read about parents who sought the welfare of their children. They sought for the blessing of the Lord. For them, that was most important. They went to the Lord Jesus. They went to the Lord Jesus. We have a greater privilege than they had. They needed to go to the Lord Jesus physically. But we can go to the Lord daily. Wherever you are, you can go to the Lord Jesus with your children in prayer. We may plead on His fulfilled work. He is the great high priest, praying always for his church. We may pray to him, to Christ, "Remember my children in thy intercessory prayer." We are allowed to bring our children to the Lord Jesus. What a miracle. That's a great blessing. But instead of bringing them to Jesus, we can keep them away from Jesus as well with our opposing hands. Our second thought. Opposing hands. This account shows it very clearly. There were the opposing hands of the disciples. As we read in verse 13, "And his disciples rebuked those that brought them." In our imagination, we see the parents coming with their young children. Maybe they have visited the temple, and now they were looking for Rabbi Jesus. At a certain moment, they spotted him, and around him stood the disciples and Pharisees. They wished the best for their children and therefore walked in the direction of the Lord Jesus. But a few disciples break away from the group that surrounds the Lord Jesus. You can see the annoyance and anger on their faces. They rebuke the parents. They reject the parents with their children. What about the attitude of the disciples? Why did they keep away the children from the Lord Jesus? We can mention a few reasons. The first reason we can mention has to do with the Jews' opinion of young children. In their view, children did not play any role in societal life. They were seen as insignificant, yes, even despised. For Jews, children were not an example of innocence, like we sometimes view children. They don't belong, since the law of God does not make them responsible for their deeds. A child becomes responsible for his deeds after his 12th birthday. From there on, he becomes a son of law, what they called the Jewish bar mitzvah, responsible for everything he did. With respect to our text, we do not have to be surprised that the disciples rebuked the parents with their children. The second reason we can mention has to do with the timing. The Lord Jesus was in conversation with the Pharisees about a difficult and complicated issue, for it was about the interpretation of God's law. Well, what is more important, the law of God or the children? To the disciples, the Lord Jesus had no time to bother with young children. He should not be disturbed. Although the disciples had good intentions, they were like opposing hands to the Lord Jesus. They were stumbling blocks. They were the opposite of the parents. No providing hands, but opposing hands. They even rebuked the parents. No place for children. That can still happen today. How? Take parents which at first visit the church faithfully, made confession of faith, and baptized their children. But in time, they became unfaithful in their church attendance. They no longer send their children to catechism class because other things are more important. It appears that the service of the Lord does not have the priority any longer. Meanwhile, the children watch their parents and sense that they can make a deal with Lord's service. They sense that their parents' faith does not amount to much. But now be careful, congregation. Do not think we are done with describing opposing hands. I remind you that those who rebuked the parents were disciples of the Lord Jesus. Man that received instruction from the Lord Jesus daily. Men who were called by the Lord Jesus, men who Jesus would take on his way of suffering, preparing them for the task which they should perform very soon, namely, to proclaim the gospel about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now look at their attitude. There are big stumbling blocks to the salvation of children. Congregation, apparently it is possible that those who possess grace become a stumbling block. How terrible! How? Most unawares, not knowing that they are a stumbling block, except the Spirit opens their eyes. Examine yourself. You go to church faithfully. The children go to Sunday school and catechism classes. You try to visit the meetings during the week. But what about your most inner feelings? Is there the daily struggle and the daily exercise in faith? What about your personal worship with God? How quickly we can become superficial in spiritual matters. We have to examine ourselves, even when we fear the Lord. A child of God does not always act wisely, let alone spiritually. They do not always wear the whole spiritual armor like Paul instructs God's people in Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When was the last time your feet were shut with the preparation of the gospel of peace? That you spoke with your children about eternal matters? When did you last speak about salvation that needs to be known? When? You don't remember? Do we act like the disciples? Blind? And therefore, unknowingly, stumbling blocks. Who cannot be blamed? Are there not reasons to humble yourselves before the Lord? Our children need instruction from the Scriptures continually. Do not be satisfied when our children merely go to church and when they are involved in church activities. The point is, are they converted? Have they repented of their sins? What do we need? That we humble ourselves before the Lord and confess our sins and failures. That we pray earnestly, O Lord, forgive my sins in the upbringing of my children. Forgive my sins of forgetting the souls of the young people of our congregation. How awful when we are stumbling block for our children, for hereby we offend the Lord. We read in verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. In the Greek language, a word is used indicating that there was an inner dread with the Lord. The Savior was seriously upset. He was upset by the disciples. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. What do you need to prevent you from becoming a stumbling block for your children or for the children of the congregation? A tender life with the Lord. What the Scripture calls the fear of the Lord. That means that you have high thoughts of the Lord and of his majesty and holiness, that you humble yourselves before the Lord, for he is God Almighty, and you are a low creature and a sinner on top of that. You bow deeply in the dust, and at the same time nurture a childlike trust in the Lord. For you believe his promises, whereby you feel a boldness to take your refuge to the Lord with all your sins and with all your sorrows. The fear of the Lord. That means that you know the Lord Jesus Christ in principle, from the heart. And without knowing the Lord Jesus by faith, we are still humbling blocks, stumbling blocks. Are you an example for your children? Examine yourself and be not satisfied until you know you are on biblical grounds. How terrifying is the end of stumbling blocks! For such there is no entrance into the kingdom of God but outer darkness. And this portion of Scripture is shown to us anew the necessity of knowing our personal state before the Lord, that we would fear the Lord for our own well-being and for the well-being of our children. For your attitude affects the next generation. Many Bible stories prove this, and maybe you know of examples in your own environment. Outwardly faithful people, but the professed love of the Lord and his service withered. What happened to the children? They left the church because they noticed that the faith of father or mother or the faith of grandparents was not real. Generally, the Lord works the fear of the Lord through the generations. That is God's usual way. Parents or grandparents can be a blessing to the children if the Lord works in their hearts and they are examples to the next generation. It's God's usual way. Maybe someone struggles with this. Maybe you have tried to raise up your children in the fear of the Lord. You prayed and still pray every day for your loved ones. You brought them up, you brought them to church faithfully and have tried to speak with your children about the one thing needful. You tried it with all your shortcomings. But the children wandered away, unfortunately. They choose their own ways despite your earnest warnings. It hurts and causes grief for you. For you know they will be lost when nothing changes. If that is so, I would like to ask you, yes, to encourage you to still bring your children, of your child, your children, to the Lord Jesus. But you feel a burden to keep on praying. Prayer is the strongest instrument to lead children to the Lord Jesus. It is more powerful than any other instrument. The Lord is able to work exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. Even today, the Lord is willing and able to overcome disobedient and stubborn sinners. He is not obliged to do. That is true. Not even because of your unceasing prayer. But he is willing and able to do so in the way of prayer. Let us now listen to our third thought, blessing hands. The Lord is willing to receive young children. Yes, he was very moved when he saw the disciples rebuking children. With compassion he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." That means there is room with the Lord for young children. In our minds, we see the parents and children going to the Lord Jesus. They pass the disciples, and the Lord Jesus takes the young children up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blesses them. He stretched out his arms. We see tender love in acts. He blessed them, just like rabbis used to do. He prayed for the children. He granted them his blessing. To the Lord Jesus, this was no little event when he blessed the children. Why could he bless children? For what reason? Because these children were sinful. Yes, doom-worthy. The Lord Jesus could only do so for reason of the work he was to accomplish. Because of his merit. And what was his merit? The hands with which he blessed the children would soon be taken by rough soldiers and bound and nailed to the cross. Blessed hands would soon be nail-pierced hands. Congregation, this is the glorious gospel for you parents who stood at the font, and for all of us. There is an abundance of blessings, even to children, because of the fountain opened in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he shed his blood for propitiation. That means for the forgiveness of all sins, also of them worthy children. Isn't this signed and sealed in the baptism? There is room for sinful children. The Lord Jesus turned around the human order. He did not come to those who believed they could fulfill the law, like the Pharisees. He did not come to those who knew in their mind what the most important thing in the kingdom of God is. He did not come to orthodox people, maybe like you. No, he came to the accused, to those who did not count. Like Paul said in the first epistle to the Corinthians, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. For whom is the kingdom of God? Let us pay careful attention to the last portion of this account. When the Lord Jesus had taken the children in his arms, he looked earnestly at his disciples and the others around him. Verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. To enter the kingdom of God, we have to be a child, to be like a child. What's meant by that expression? It means that we have to enter into the kingdom of God with simplicity, sincerity, and humility. Childlike simplicity. And many add to this explanation, you have to be like a child, full of trust and simple. In spiritual questions, you do not have to think too long. You do not have to ask whether there is salvation for you. No, you just receive it just like a child. But if we understand the words of Jesus in this way, then we are looking for a ground to enter in the kingdom of God in our attitude. Moreover, does this mean that children are more receptive to enter the kingdom of God than others? But that's not true. We have read in this evening, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. Even children need the mighty working of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus says in our text that the kingdom of God is for young children, but not because of any quality in a child or because he sees something good in a child, Not even because children are approachable, simple, and trusting. In the background of this text, a profound spiritual lesson is hidden. Namely, that we all have to be like a child. That means that we have to become a child again. And maybe you are thinking about another text which we read in John 3, the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus, the text we also read in the form of the baptism, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be like a little child means that you have to be born again. That means that you can receive the blessings of the kingdom of God only by grace. That means that nothing in me, sinful, guilty man, can qualify me to enter into the kingdom of God. Only God's electing love, only God's sovereign mercy. In that way, I will leave everything with which I try to make myself acceptable to enter into God's kingdom. I need to become as a child that has nothing and can do nothing. On that depends on what is given to him. One that depends on what is given to him. You need grace to be like a child, to depend on the Lord only. Then you have true simplicity, sincerity, and humility. How can I receive this? How can I receive salvation? In the way of regeneration. That means that you have nothing, but that you lean on the Lord in deep dependence. You believe only the Lord can save me. Did you already lose everything? Lose everything so that you take shelter in His blessing hands? He blessed them all, not because of simplicity, not because they had sinned less than adults. No, only because of His work. His work still is to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord comes to us this evening with the same message. Listen to the preaching and look at the administration of the sacrament. Children, did you look carefully? This evening, I may proclaim and confirm, underscore that God is willing to wash away your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you bend your knees before you go to bed, confess to the Lord your sins. Though my sins are like a flood, wash me clean in Jesus' blood. When you pray this tonight, remember this evening's baptism service. You are baptized as well. The Lord Jesus is willing and able to cleanse children, sinful parents, sinful elderly people from all their sins. Do not come with your reasoning and say, yes, but the Lord has signed and sealed it. He takes it seriously. You have heard about the Lord Jesus who blessed poor sinners, who put His hands upon them and blessed them. Do you argue that the Lord is not willing and not able to bless you? Do you suspect the Lord of unfaithfulness? For sure, you cannot enter the kingdom of God except you are born again. But if you do not know how to be born again, will you not pray? You have a lovely pleading ground, signed and sealed in baptism, that the Lord is willing to grant you everything you need for salvation. Then take refuge to these blessings' hands, for you will receive not only the promise of salvation, but the promise itself. How? Take a good look at the hands of the Lord Jesus. They are nail-pierced hands. The Lord Jesus has met God's justice. He has fully paid what I could never pay. God is satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ, whereby he blesses all who call upon his name, all who take refuge to him. The Lord Jesus has the right to claim, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." They all enter the kingdom of God. Blessed is the one who comes with his impossibilities and hangs unto his promises. He will not be ashamed. You are permitted to come with your children to the Lord Jesus, even though you don't know how to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. Even though you see sins and burdens on your side, even though you wonder with fear in your heart, "How can I keep my children with the word of God?" He, with tender mercies, crowns thee, satisfies thy full request. Amen.